There's something beautiful about the relationship between a mother and a daughter. A mama will hold you tight during hard times, have your back through thick and thin, and still check you and tell you when you're gaining weight. My relationship with my mom as her daughter, with my nieces as their auntie mama, is rooted deeply in friendship, respect, and I'm so grateful. Through each of my life stages, childhood, college, rebellion, marriage, my relationship with my mother and my role as a daughter has changed. That's why I'm excited to talk about our relationships as mothers and daughters and how they change over the years. From WBEZ Chicago, this is When Magic Happens. I'm Cheryl Jackson, here with Jennifer Shea Love Long and Taylor Coward. And today, we're talking about everybody and their mama. Well, just our mamas, daughters, nieces, and ourselves. All that and more coming up.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
On Curious City, every listener's question leads to a surprising story. Whether it's the history behind Chicago's folk scene, fashion industry, or the worst year in sports we've ever had. Uncover more of Chicago's hidden stories wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies, I'm so excited for this conversation. I just love my mama. But, I'm a mama's girl. For sure. But let's start by having you describe your mother.
Well, my mom is a nurse, and so she's, like, a caretaker professionally, but she also is, like, everyone's caretaker in my family. Mm-hmm. So, like, you call her if, like, something happened at school and you need her to come up there. Or she goes to, like, everybody's doctor's appointments with them. And she, like, does family photos all the time. Like, my mom is, like, our family photographer. And, like, she really is, like, the backbone. So, yeah, she's kind of like everybody's mom.
Your mom's funny,
Your too. Mom is hilarious.
Right.
Okay. Like, she is, she's so
she's
fun.
A hoot. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a hoot. She is, she has fun. She likes to dance. And she's just one of those people that handles her responsibilities, but, like, also makes sure to take time to, like, enjoy life and in her family.
What about you, Jennifer?
My mom, whenever I think about describing my mom, it's about her voice, right? Because when I, you know, I talk to her pretty much every day, and she'll be like, "Hi, Jennifer," right? Or she'll say, "Hey, Shay." And so I her voice represents her personality. Like, she's just so vibrant and she's loving. And, you know, she has this, like, can do anything personality. Like, mm-hmm. I think she instilled that in me. It's just like, anything you want to do, she's like, "You could do that."
Yep.
You know, like, I told her a word that I was mispronouncing it. And I told her that, "Mom, I found out that's not a word." Right. And she was like, "But that's OK, because you can submit that to the dictionary and they could potentially take it on as a new word." And I'm like, "Okay,
make it happen."
And she's also an adventurer. Like, she, when we were younger, literally some weekends she'd be like, "Let's drive to such and such," or "Let's go to Dallas," or "Let's go here." You know, she just, "Well, let's go to the Carlsbad Caverns." Like, she just always was, you know, creating space for us to explore.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just love that about her.
And she's very inviting. Like, she had the energy of, like, I was one of her nieces or something. Like,
yes.
I was in line at our lunch and she's like, "What wine do you think looks good?" And I'm like, "Oh, no, Jennifer's mom." I was like, "Let's pick a wine." And she just is like, kind of reminds me of my mom in that way of, mm-hmm. like, my mom will talk to the people in line.
Yes, your mother will. She meets no strangers.
No, she doesn't. Like, she can be buds with anybody. And I got that vibe from your mom, too.
She's similar. How about you, Cheryl?
My mother's not that. My mother is very reserved, shy, regal, very elegant. She has a quiet strength that draws people to her like a magnet without saying a word. But once she gets to know you, she will hem you up in the corner, okay, and chat you down. She's a Renaissance woman, and she just does so many different things. And, you know, she's going to root for you. If there is no one else in the stadium, and she is the only person in the stadium, she will be betting on you to the end. And that kind of faith, that's who she is. She's a woman of deep, deep faith. Child, she got Jesus on the main line, okay? but she's a deep woman of faith, but not just about her own life, but faith to believe for you. And that is beautiful.
Yeah, that is beautiful.
Like, whenever I had, like, choir shows growing up or Girl Scout things or my brief foray into ballet, I could always, like, look up and my mom's going to be there.
Yeah.
And I'm going to hear her bracelets jangling and I'm going to hear her screaming my name and cheering for me. I had a choir concert recently. I rejoined a choir and she was there and I didn't expect her to be because she had just worked. And that's just how she is. And she's been like that my whole life. And so I really appreciate that.
Yes.
Yeah.
That just hit me. Just how, you know, it feels when your mom shows up for you.
Yep.
You know, and like when we're growing up, really all we want from them is their time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you don't remember necessarily all the other things, but you remember when she was there.
Right.
You know, and how she showed up.
Yeah,
I love that.
That's so much of what mothers do. Now, curious, in what ways are you like and different from your mom?
Like and different. Like, I think, you know, she definitely the can do. Like, I don't see obstacles in that way, you know, and I think she's been impactful in shaping that. I think also maybe personality wise, she is very. Like, she receives people in a different way, like, meaning she's very, like, open and, you know, isn't going to say anything that is contrary to, you know, if someone's maybe not being so kind, she's not going to say anything that's contrary to that. And I've learned to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, my mom doesn't sugarcoat.
I get that.
She's a tell it like it is kind of lady. And so... when I was in, like, third grade, she gave me this book called The Care and Keeping of You. And she's like, look, girl, there's going to be some things happening. And, like, gave me the whole rundown of, like, you know, your body is going to change this way and that way. And the book kind of, like, there's a part in the book where it shows you how to, like, put in a tampon. Like, it really is like, hey, let's be real about things that are happening so you don't have questions. And I feel like that's how my mom approaches a lot of things in life. Like, this is what money is like. This is what marriage is like. This is what dating is like. The workplace. And say what you want. Say how you feel. And I needed that because a lot of people sugarcoat. And so it's nice at home. I don't have someone like that. And
do you sugarcoat or not?
I think that I do tend to be a people pleaser. And so in learning from my mom, not saying she's, you know, like abrasive with people, but she's going to tell you what she means and when she means it.
I'm like my mom in that I struggle with having my full voice until I'm pissed off.
Okay.
Then I'm going to let you have it all. I also, like my mom, will put other people first. And I will sacrifice. And it's okay to put other people first, but you have to be, you know, check the whole, am I sacrificing, you know, too much of what I need. So we're kind of aligned like that. But where we're different is, child, my mother is saved for real. Okay.
Like, for real, for real.
For real, for real, for real. But, you know, she has such, you know, high values, and, you know, she's just so appropriate in every way. Mm-hmm. I think I have tacked to the right intentionally, you know? And sometimes I do it so much so to push her buttons and just, you know, a reminder, I'm different.
I can't remember what episode it was, but it was some, like, your mom was like, you don't have to have a drink at this event.
That's right. That's right. You do not have
that
to.
That was so funny. I'm like, you were this adult woman, and she is like, put that drink down now.
Yes, she is very much that. She's never drank. She's never had a drop of liquor in her life.
She's never had a drink.
Mm-mm. So I'll sit down with her. Hey, I think I'm going to have a glass of champagne. You want one? She just drops it.
Shakes her head. Cheryl, please.
I already know the answer to it. Okay. But so I think I'm different in that way. Now, here's where we are very much alike. It manifests differently because we're different generations. But my mother is quietly very unique and different. She has her own path. She's okay with walking a different path than the masses. Mm-hmm. And I think I am very much like that. Mm-hmm. The question is, did you have your mother on a pedestal? Have you ever had your mom on a pedestal? Mm-hmm. You?
Yeah. Where I'm like, she can't be hurt. She doesn't have, like, she's a superwoman.
Right. Walk on water.
Yeah.
Walk on water, right?
And it's something like innate, I guess, because you could be upset with your mom having a bad day or something. And if you hear someone else say something negative about your mom or even feel
them fighting words.
Yeah, I'm like, let's check that now. Let's shut that down now.
Right.
And that doesn't happen often, but just as an example of how you have feelings toward your mom, but you still always are going to ride for her.
Yeah.
And you still always are going to defend her. And yeah, no, you can't say anything about my mom to me. I'm one of those people.
When was the moment you took your mother off the pedestal and saw her humanity?
Okay.
You weren't ready for that question.
I wasn't.
Right.
I was at home visiting my parents, and my mom had just lost her mom. Mm. And we were standing in the dining room, and it was just like a moment where she just lost it. You know, she just kind of opened up. And even in that process, I don't know that I ever saw her show that kind of emotion in front of us. Mm. Right. Not saying that she wasn't emotional, but just the level of vulnerability mm-hmm. that I saw in that moment. And I'm like, for all the times before this that I thought, not that you don't feel, but you're so strong mm-hmm. that I don't see that level of vulnerability, mm-hmm. you know? And I know it's there. I know that she is very, you know, very sensitive and very caring and empathetic. And so that moment was the moment that I don't know that I took her off of the pedestal, but I realized, like, okay, this is my mom, but this is also a human, you right. know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
What about y'all?
I think as I get older, I humanize my parents more and more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think back on their life experiences and like, damn, that was trauma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Legit.
What you went through to get me
here.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like the things just the things they went through just as a human,
yeah.
you know, abandonment issues or my mother growing up in Jim Crow South mm-hmm. where she had to get on and sit at the back of the bus. And she talks about these moments now where her kind of defiance or her father dying, you know, when she was in her freshman year in college mm-hmm. with five or six small siblings. She had to come out of Fisk and take a job to help take care of her kids. The only job was a domestic job. And how at 19, she fled to Chicago, you know, just dealing with a sudden death, unexpected sudden death of her father, who was her rock, having to come up with a plan and going to a new city, new culture, all at 19. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I can't even imagine.
You're like, yo, they really,
right?
They've done some things. Like, I find even with having a child now, mm-hmm. I like apologize to my mom.
Right.
I'm just like, I'm sorry.
I know.
Because it's like you have to experience it to really understand the sacrifice, the things that they've done mm-hmm. to kind of.
Or even the things that you issues you have with your parents. Like, you know, they had this attitude and they didn't do it. And then you now peeling back the onion now that you understand. You're like, okay. Mm. You're like,
oh.
What was your like first disagreements with your mom?
It wasn't until college.
Okay.
What about you?
I remember mine.
You do?
I remember the one where I was just so strong-willed about it. So we were going to this event, right? Mm-hmm. And I had on this red and black dress, right? And I used to literally dress up in her clothes. I love playing dress up, right? Mm-hmm. And so on this particular occasion, I had a pair of black shoes, but I wanted to wear white tights, right? I had
no.
Girl, how old were you?
Anyway.
Let's try to help you. How old? Okay. You were five.
No. Okay. I was a teenager.
Okay.
But anyway, I know. And so I was arguing her down. Mm-hmm. And she was right. She was like, you need to put on a pair of black tights or black something. Don't mm-hmm. wear white, you know, tights with a pair of black shoes. And I remember now in that moment, like, God, you know, I just was being so headstrong.
Right.
But I also see that same behavior in my own child.
My mother says, you reap what you sow.
Exactly.
Okay. Twofold. That's what she says. So
that is so funny that this was over tight. I was not expecting that. I thought she was going to say the dress. I didn't like the dress. Or
no, it was the tights.
Okay. It was the accessories.
Mm. It was probably my boyfriend.
Mm.
Yeah. Boyfriend.
Like dating in general? Or?
No, the ex.
Oh.
And it was, you know, it was like, I think my first sort of independence. And I'm like, I'm gonna flex on this independence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then she had a very traditional way of, you know, mm-hmm. And there was like, okay, constantly, mm-hmm. you know, crying, tears on the phone, you know, just complete, you know, Oscar award winning meltdowns, okay, in the payphone booth, okay?
Viola Davis.
Yes, okay.
Only the ugly cry.
The ugly cry. I swelled up, okay. She doesn't thank me. You know, that kind of. And then over fashion, I wanted belly out, you know, big hat, you know, just, I was always pushing the envelope.
Yeah.
With my mother's like, well, my father got on me about Bermuda shorts.
What?
And you just taking it and going to a whole nother level.
Okay. What is the level of a Bermuda short? Where does that stop?
Church of God in Christ.
At the knee?
Yeah, it stops at the knee, but it's Church of God in Christ. 50s. Okay, you do not show your kneecap.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
So she would like put them on underneath, put a skirt on top of it. Then when she got where she's going, she took the skirt off. I said, okay.
Oh, I bet you wouldn't have got away with what they do today.
Right. But I just wouldn't hide. I just like show up with my fit, okay? And she just mortified, okay?
How do you work through disagreements then?
But Taylor, what about yours?
Oh, we haven't really had one yet. I mean, I guess dating would be similar because I had to introduce the concept of I'm ready to date and I'm my mom's first kid. I tell my brother all the time, I laid the groundwork for you. I'm like, the things that you do would never fly in my day.
Right.
True.
I'm like, I'm paving the way.
You're paving the way?
But yeah, I had to pave the way with dating. And like, I don't know, he brought his partner over like on a holiday and like we all got to meet this person and we were just like, oh, I'm like, that's nice. Like, got all up in the family house. I'm like, oh, okay. But yeah, I mean, she was nice. She was nice girl. But
she's still there.
No.
Okay, that's why y'all had attitude.
What holiday
okay?
was it? Was it like
it
Christmas?
Was a
or
big
like
bank a big holiday one. Was Christmas.
Oh, okay, yeah. You bring up.
But yeah, you know, older siblings, we paved the way. So I had to do that with my mom, and so now she's like super chill mom. And I'm like, yeah, I did that work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
what I tell my brother.
You sacrificed.
Yeah.
Yes.
But that's my job, I guess.
Yeah.
As an older sister. But I'll answer my own question of working through a disagreement.
Mm-hmm.
I think we are very open with each other and just being like, you know, it is really refreshing to be like an adult and have an adult conversation with your mom.
Yeah.
And to like work through something together. And I feel like it ends up like, even if it's something small, you end up closer, like in the end.
Mm-hmm.
But I know some people have disagreements that they can't get over with their moms. And so I'm fortunate that I still have a relationship with her. But I know for some people, sometimes things are just too big to get over.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. But like, you know, a parent like having issues with a spouse or a potential spouse, I'm sure is hard. And so that's why I was wondering, like, well, how do you even get through that?
That is a lesson learned in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Is like when you bring somebody else into the family, mm-hmm. you know, that is your spouse. Like, I do understand now why it is so important to kind of be sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I'm not suggesting that I wasn't sure, but I see how that can impact a foundational relationship with your parents, you know, or it can create some tension,
yeah.
you know.
But the sureness is good. Like,
The sureness is.
And taking time. Like,
yeah.
Last night I was with my grandparents and my grandma was like, oh, I haven't seen you. And, but where's your, she asked for my boyfriend. I'm like, grandma, you ain't called me in days. Then my grandpa was like, hey, you talk to the boy? what is he up to? And so, like, that makes me feel good because I know I'd be devastated if it was the opposite.
Yeah, exactly.
If they were like, ugh, stop bringing him around here. But, like, they want to see him sometimes more than they see me.
Yeah.
And so I think that's, like, a great sign because that would be tough for me. And I don't really know how I'd navigate it.
And what's funny is sometimes when it is the opposite,
mm-hmm.
they know. Like, I think about, like, one boyfriend in particular that mm-hmm. I brought around.
Mm-hmm.
They did not like him. And they were absolutely
correct.
Right.
Right. Right.
They were right.
Yeah.
That's what my family will do. Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you what I think. Go and do what you want to do. And
see but what happens.
They, right.
But they going to tell you.
Right.
If you think about my family, my mom, you fall out, but you can. It's okay because you know you're going to fall back in.
Mm-hmm.
You want something to eat. Okay. Girl, you want to run through dealers with me? Okay, so
oh my that's what my mom says.
Yeah, that's like how you fall back
in. That's how like you get back together.
That's how you get back together.
Let's go shopping.
Or food. That's how you get back together. It's usually shopping. Okay.
It is.
Girl, I saw something
that's
cute.
Funny.
I saw a dress that was great for you.
Girl, yes. Come on.
Really, let me
let's
see what it looked like.
Pillows from Marshall.
That's right. That's how you fall back in with your mom. It's always
so
shopping,
true.
Right? So, that's the cue. It's over. Let's
yeah,
move
let's
forward.
Let's move
okay.
forward. So funny. I love it. That is so true.
But I have a theory about putting our parents, and particularly our mothers,
mm-hmm.
on the pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
You put your mother on this pedestal of the ideal of perfection,
mm-hmm.
of what it means to be a woman. And you were falling short
mm-hmm.
of perfection. I think sometimes when we put our moms on the pedestal and we can't reach that, you know, and we're using that as a measure, then we want to whittle the pedestal down.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, constant confrontations. I think that happens when you're young.
Yeah, when you're young.
Like, I can't measure up to this. I can't even see this. You know what? I don't like it anyway. Okay. So, you know, then you're challenging your mother at every point because you put her on this pedestal that you cannot measure up to.
Mm-hmm.
And you're mad about it.
So I'm with you on that theory. Mm-hmm. And I think, too, because now I see the picture fully, it is also we're trying to manage our own independence,
yes.
right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, even when we're – and that's why it happens when we're teenagers, right, where mm-hmm. we're always having, like, this kind of, like, combat because I am different than my mom, you know, and I'm trying to sort of flex my level of independence. And the reason I say that is because I see that with my own child now. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. our confrontation is based on her wanting to be her own person, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And me having a vision for what I want her to be.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, let's talk about Galapagos Island. Okay.
I done heard this story. I done heard this story.
The golf.
Three times. Okay.
The golf ball in the
but
room.
You know,
so
that
you're still
you know.
Right there. Okay. That was like 3 years ago, right?
So I mean, funny.
Kinda.
That's hilarious.
I'd have a hard time letting that go, too.
I would, too. I would, too.
So I hear you. But, like, she probably has other things on her mind she wants to do.
And she
so
does.
And so that's what you mean about,
that's,
like,
that's
there's
right.
this path I want you to take, and then there's your own that I have to be open to you doing.
That's right. Let me tell you, this weekend she sent me a text message, and she goes, "Hey, Mom, I wondered if we could go to church on Sunday." And I was like, oh, my God, yes, I'll take you to church. And I also found this new church that I really love for them, right? Mm-hmm. And so anyway, so I was all excited on the text, but then I was like, maybe I should temper it because then she might not want to go if
right.
I'm too excited.
I can't
be
right.
too excited. But I was really excited. And then she goes, also, I wanted to let you know that I'm joining the philosophical debate team. And I was like, oh, girl.
You knew what
I wanted
to hear.
Yeah, you knew what I wanted to hear this weekend.
I love that.
So, yeah, so I bought her a car.
Played her like a book.
Okay, you did what I want you to do, so now you get the car.
What did my mama keep asking me to do? How can I get on wheels?
That's right.
That's right.
That's queen. Great.
Queen behavior.
So I don't have children of my own, but I am an auntie mama. So I'm very hands-on with my nieces and nephews. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to, my oldest niece, who's the first grandchild, I was trying to really mold her mm-hmm. in my own liking, but likeness probably. So I was like, okay, you know, getting all the internships and, you know, cause she's such a talented writer and communicator. And so my sister, when she decided to run for school board, I was like, okay, for this summer, I'm going to pay you out of my own pocket good money to be her campaign manager. It's going to be a great title on your resume, great experience.
Y'all hire.
About.
No, I'm like.
Y'all hire.
I
right.
mean, I'll
exactly,
help you.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. Like, okay.
Hello.
Call
me.
Okay.
Diversification
so
of income.
Exactly. How about this? About 4 weeks in, Cheryl, thank you for the opportunity, but I've decided to go take another job and be a waitress at Red Lobster.
She did not 2 week notice you.
It wasn't even 2 weeks.
She noticed.
She just said, I'm not going to be there tomorrow.
I was like, I took it personally.
Yeah.
And why would you leave this for Red Lobster? Okay. That's all I want to know, okay?
They got the cheese rolls.
I made
she wasn't trying to
biscuit.
Roll.
Wait, Cheryl. I made my best money in food service. The tips be tipping. And she was like, she may be very bag-oriented. She may be like, I see Cheryl doing the thing that she likes. I'm going to make my money and do what I like. I want to get a car. I want to get super tall shoes like my auntie. I want to, you know?
No, she was like, look, I just want to do a little job and then leave it there and go party with my friends. You trying to this is a whole thing
that also is kind of like a family business.
A 24/7
with my family,
you know,
that might be a lot.
And she was like, "I just can't. I
it
just
want to."
It was for my sister, her aunt.
Oh, it's also her aunt.
Okay,
yeah, that's still family.
Yeah, but it was she wasn't people. Trying to work like that. She's like, "I just want to enjoy my summer."
Yeah,
and this was like. You're running a legit campaign,
yeah.
You know. It's
how old is she?
At the time, she must have been a junior in college.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, a junior in college.
Yeah,
that's kind of young.
Yeah, but you know, a school board race. My nephew is my sister's campaign manager. He just turned 25 for mayor of Memphis.
But I'm just thinking of, like, from her perspective, because I'm sure.
But I wanted that for her.
Right.
She did not want
from
that for her.
From her perspective, she's like, I have to give this a lot. I don't want to let down my family.
Yeah.
And I want to have fun.
She wanted
to
have fun.
So I'm about to go flip these Cheddar Bay biscuits, and then I am going about my day. You know what I mean?
I'm going to hit the clubs with my girls. Okay. Yes.
To be a young person.
Yeah.
I root for young people to do young people things after the pandemic, because I did not get that.
Yeah. Right?
So I want people to go to the bar, eat a Cheddar Bay biscuit, all that.
Are they called Cheddar Bay biscuits?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. I call them a cheese roll.
Give me a bucket of them cheese rolls.
But, you know, it's hard being a mom, you know, because you want so much for your child. It's not my, I'm auntie mama.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's.
And your kids don't acknowledge the things you do for them.
They
And in
don't.
That case, she wasn't thinking, wow, my auntie set me up with this great gig. You know, she will in like 10 years, but at the time, and I think parent moms have that disappointment all the time of like, do you really know what I put in for this?
And what's amazing about moms, how they hold their tongue. I remember I was 21, went home. I'm dating this guy. He's 45 and yeah, he was white, you know, so it was as different from, you know, Southern down south, this first interracial sort of relationship. It was some other crazy stuff too, and along with that little story. And she just listened. She's just like, oh, okay. And now that I think back on it, I remember commenting to her. I said, how did you hold your tongue on that one? Mm-hmm. She was like, why complain to you?
You gonna do what you wanna do.
She said, I told the person that could do something about it.
I know that's right.
I told Jesus. I got on my knees, okay? And I said, Lord, you see this child, okay? Ooh, as my niece says, when Grammy puts prayer on you, ooh, she says, that's the last thing you want to hear. When she puts that prayer on you, it's like, God, really, Mom? Are you telling God on me? Okay. But it, you know, and it resolved itself, you know, quickly. Mm-hmm. And, but I'll just never forget the restraint. I would have flipped out.
Mm-hmm. You didn't flip out on your knees.
I had an attitude.
Well, actually.
I did. I did not take the high road.
You did not Michelle Obama in that situation.
I failed Mama in 101. Okay, I failed.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
So, Mama said.
Mama said.
Mama said. What are these valuable lessons that we've learned from our mothers?
You know, I'm going to say hands down, literally thinking about things abundantly and like that that things are possible, right? And so when I was in college, she gave me two books. She gave me The Four Agreements and she gave me Deepak Chopra's Seven Spiritual Laws to Success, right?
Wow.
And I read both of those books. And my point is that like even in the things that she would do habitually, like as I'm growing up and watching her, you know, I'm watching her do these things, but then like she's reinforcing it by giving me things to read. And in every moment in my life, it's always been like, this is possible.
Like unwavering faith.
Yeah.
When I did choir, I wasn't that good. Mm-hmm. I did it as a hobby and for my lisp to go away. But my mom was like, you can be Diana Ross if you want to be.
Yes.
Or like when I'd like read a book. I had a project in like first grade where I wrote a book about like, it was maybe third. And I wrote a book about this sweater that would like attack people.
if it got angry with you. And so many of my family members were deeply concerned by the content of the book, just because I was like off the walls. My mom went and had the book bound. She made copies of it. Oh, she like gave it out to all my family. And she's like, Taylor wrote a book. And so that's how she is with everything. Right. Like, she was at the Black Women's Expo and was like telling the people who worked at the expo what direction the chair should be in so that the audience could see us all better.
Like, mom manager.
Yeah, she's
a momager.
She just really is always going to support me in whatever I do. Yeah. And so that's such a comfort, especially in your 20s when you're kind of like flailing and I don't really know what I want to do. Whatever it is, she's going to be behind it.
They say that in order to be it, you have to see it. Mm-hmm. My mother is walking exhibit A for me on the power and the ability to reinvent yourself at any stage in your life. Her career as a composer of classical choral music didn't take off until she was 60. She had been writing this music, you know, in the backyard in hot summers. You know, that's why I like summertime. But it's 105 degrees outside, and, you know, with five badass kids, you're just like trying to run the opposite direction to get a little peace of mind and space for yourself. So I could see her hands, you know, gesticulating in the air as she's hitting these notes and trying to find the right tunes. And I just, with a big glass of water for years. And she was writing and singing to herself. No one ever performed her music. And then at 60, the first time you hear your music performed is at Carnegie Hall.
Wow.
It's a powerful story.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Of what can be. Mom, Ernestine, thank you, thank you, thank you for your light and your force and your love. It's meant everything.
Mama Tootsie, Florence, I'm so deeply grateful for you. And I'm grateful for your presence in my life. I'm grateful for your presence in my children's life. And I think I owe more to you than I could even offer. But I love you.
Julie. Julie. Thank you for everything. You're my best friend. We've been through a lot, but we have so much left to do, so much to accomplish, and like, you're the best partner. I love you.
Hey there, producer Brianna here. I want to give a shout out to my mama as well.
Mother, mama, Jen, thank you so much for being the ultimate example of womanhood for me and for being the hero that I've always aspired to be. Love you, mom. Shout out, Rosalind. Okay, bye.
Inglewood. And that's a wrap for our mother-daughter episode. If you like what you heard, subscribe, rate us on Apple Podcasts, and tune in every Friday for your dose of When Magic Happens. Follow us on Instagram at When Magic Happens Podcast.
Don't miss out on the latest and greatest from your When Magic Happens family. Subscribe to our newsletter, the perfect companion to this podcast, at wbez.org/newsletters. You can find me, Jennifer Shea Love Long, on Instagram at Being Shea Love.
You can find me, Taylor Coward, on Instagram at Taylor Coward Online.
And you can find me, Cheryl Jackson, on socials at Cheryl Jackson. That's Cheryl with an E. We love to hear from you, our magical listeners. Our email address is magic@wbez.org. Send us anything.
When Magic Happens is a production of WBEZ Chicago and a part of the NPR Podcast Network. Our truly magical producer is Brianna Garrett. Brendan Banaszak is our executive producer. Tracy Brown is chief content officer. Production assistance by Justin Bull, and engineering by Maria Lopez. See y'all next week.